This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
Good afternoon and welcome to Been There, Done That on Joy's birthday. Well, our birthday week is...
It's birthday week.
That was the voice of Gordon.
That's right. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon,
and
Gordon.
It's wet and dreary day.
It's lovely wetness. We're enjoying the wetness. Yeah. And Phil?
Hello.
Oh, let me turn you on.
Do I sound more like a human now?
Oh, you do. Certainly do.
A little more on.
Thanks very much to Tim for the news and for Guy for the morning show here on Joy. And today is going to be a real retro show. We're going back to our roots in lots of ways, but also we're connecting with our community. And one of the people that we're going to be speaking with, well, immediately now, is Matrix Guild. And we've got Annika Deutsch in the studio with us. Good afternoon, Annika.
Good afternoon.
Oh, excellent. What a nice sound level you've given us. Thank you. Could you please explain to us what Matrix is and what Matrix does? Because for some people who are not in that particular zone wouldn't actually realise what works you're up to.
Well, Matrix is an organisation for older lesbians. We're a support and advocacy group. We began about 22 years ago, founded by a group of lesbian feminists, with a sort of generalised concern and worry about what would happen in our old age. And we thought, well, we'll found the old dykes home.
Good.
So that was the catalyst. After lots of fundraising and dances and the rise in Melbourne property prices, we realised that, our little bit of money wasn't really going to buy anything. However, in 2007, Heather Chappell died and left us a bequest. It was only $300,000, but that's a lot for a volunteer-run organisation. We've got no paid staff or anything. And we initially were going to buy a unit, some sort of housing. She wanted it to be rental accommodation for older lesbians who couldn't afford to live in Melbourne,
right,
who didn't have their own property. But at that time, we partnered with the Women's Property Initiatives, a housing provider, and because of the stimulus package funding that the Rudd government was handing out at that time, we could put in 25%, and then the housing provider was able to access 75% of government funds. So our $300,000 became $1.2 million in conjunction with WPI. And with that money, we bought three apartments in Brunswick, very nice central location, two bedrooms, good north-facing aspect. And we now house older lesbians who are disadvantaged or, meet the social housing criteria of minimal assets and low income.
So that's a marvellous base to start from, and you're progressing with this aim, are you?
Yeah, well, that's one of the things we work on is housing, and we've just had turnover. One of the flats turned over last year. The woman decided to leave, and again this week we've just had another turnover. We've got a very excited new tenant who's finally found a place of her own. But the other thing I guess we spend a lot of time on is trying to educate aged care providers about how to provide inclusive practice for older lesbians and trying to make them aware of how heterosexist their institutions are.
And they all are too, aren't they, Annika? Really are.
And I think they're starting to realise with things like the LGBTI Aged Care and Ageing Conference that Gordon and I were both at recently, there's about 200 aged care providers there, and they're wanting to learn and wanting to hear about what our experiences have been as old lesbians and old gay men in the past in terms of the discrimination, the electroshock therapy, the putting in reform schools, being jailed, all those sorts of things. They're wanting to hear what our life stories are like, and they're starting to realise that we might be a bit different. The other very interesting thing to have come out of those aged care presentations for us has been that I've started to talk to one of the major aged care providers in Australia, and they're looking at providing some lesbian-focused accommodation, both in residential care and also in the retirement village units, with the idea being there might be clusters or wings or groups of places in their facilities. Some would be where people would buy in, and others who don't have income or assets would be housed, you know, with a proportion of their pension, as is standard.
Annika, the thing with the older woman is that they never had any chance to save a lot of money or do anything, did they? Because they were usually underpaid for what they did, or they had to take time off from their work or to look after aging parents or something like that. So they've always been behind the eight ball as far as the finances go.
Well, that's typically the case with women being in a lower pay bracket than men, and I think it's exaggerated amongst lesbians, because many of us, because of the heterosexism of society, we're kind of forced socially to marry, I suppose, have children. I think about 50% of older lesbians have children, often from previous heterosexual relationships. But often we were driven out of, like I have friends who were driven out of a small country Victorian town. One had been married to the town clerk and one had been married to the high school principal. And they were run out of town. They had $200. They got nothing in terms of, left the children behind because they were told they were perverts and they didn't want that influence on the children. They had a suitcase and $200 and they didn't think there were any other lesbians in the world. So instead of coming out of that marriage with perhaps half the house or, you know, some of their husband's super.
Some equality.
Something. Yeah, they had nothing. And I think there are many like that.
You read the cases, and a lot of cases, and it makes you mad that women have never been given the equal opportunity that men have, you know, and they're at least half the population, and this is straight women and gay women, you know.
Yes.
It's the same with all women, you know, that they don't get really what they're worth.
Yeah, the hidden work they do in the home isn't recognised. And yes, it's certainly the case with all women, but I think it's more so with lesbians.
With lesbians,
because you add the discrimination factor.
Right. Yep.
I think they're the main things we've been working on.
Joy 94.9, the freshest sounds from around the world.
You're with Chris Gordon and Fu on Been There, Done That, and our guest in the studio this afternoon is Annika Deutsch from Matrix Guild. Now, we just heard a promotion from Matrix Guild. Oh, my teeth are not working this afternoon. But you've got a website as well, Annika.
Yeah, if anyone would like to become a member and perhaps be on our housing list or hear about the Lesbian Comedy Gala, which I'll tell you about in a minute, you can go to our website and have a look. It's matrixguildvic.org.au.
Thank you. Now, it's interesting that where would you be if you hadn't had that seeding finance from the bequest from that will?
Well, I suppose we wouldn't have the housing that we have with Women's Property Initiatives, but we'd still be doing the aged care presentations we do, and they're usually paid gigs. And we just launched a volunteer visitor program, which we work on a shoestring budget. We don't have staff, so we had a $3,000 grant from Lesbians Incorporated in Sydney, the old Lesbian Space Project money. And we've just launched we've done some training of about six volunteer lesbians who will have just started going into visiting other frailer, older lesbians who are isolated and lonely, sometimes in their houses, or they might go and meet for coffee or go out to events. It's a way of trying to break down that social isolation.
So how large is what I'll call your matrix community? 300 people, 1,000 lesbians?
No, it's not very big at all. If we're lucky, we might have 50 paid members. So we're really wanting people to join, because the more members we have, the more of a lobby group we can be, the more powerful we can be as a voice for older lesbians.
Exactly. So, but the other thing is that being an intimate group like this, you really have got the personal connection. And I think that's missing from a lot of aged care providers around the nation. And that's a real benefit then, isn't it, for your group?
Yes, it is. If like the big aged care provider that we're speaking to, it's easy enough for us to contact our rural members who are our friends and city-based ones, depends which area we're talking about for where we're looking at the aged care, which aged care centre we're looking at. So, yeah, we certainly have that contact.
Your fundraising is always very interesting, the way you actually raise your funds too. You have that wonderful dance even at the night, don't you?
Yes, the Satin and Silk Ball has been an institution for about 20 years. Yeah. Numbers are declining, though, and last year I started organising with Monica Dullard a big lesbian comedy gala, which was sold out. It was the first midsummer event to sell out last year. We had hundreds of lesbians we had to turn away because we only had 400 seating at the Northcote Town Hall. Mm. So this year we're, we've moved to Preston and we've got room for 600. Tickets have just gone on for sale. And if you're a Matrix member, you get quite a big discount. Tickets are normally $45, but if you're a Matrix member, you'll get a ticket for $30.
Hmm. Now, you and Gordon were recently at a conference, and do you see any positives coming out of that conference that you can work with that will find seeds in your organisation?
Well, certainly, yeah. It was at that conference that I met with the heads of the aged care, this national aged care provider from New South Wales, ACT, Victoria and Tasmania. So we're looking at quite widespread. They want to know what ways they can support older lesbians and how they can house us.
Yeah, because the idea is that they get a, when they have got themselves organised for the care of LGBTI people, they get a rainbow tick. So that's the thing they have to work for to get, so that they become really integrated into the our community, which is rather great.
Yes. So if we're going to use these external facilities, how much education do we need to give our own members and the members of Matrix so that we don't go into the areas with a form of prejudice against the other occupants of the clinic or the homes? Because, let's face it, we're both coming from our own extremes, aren't we, of knowledge?
I think most gays and lesbians were raised in heterosexual relationships.
Oh, yeah.
And we live in a heterosexual world. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we're particularly discriminatory against the breeders.
No.
I always say without them we can't be here.
No, I agree with you, yes. Yeah. But I think sometimes it's almost a foreign world because my existence these days is in the gay ghetto and I don't know how I will cope when I have to go into one of these homes and be placed. I'll be coming out of the closet every day or fighting that battle all over again every time.
I'm hoping that if enough people are actually out, our numbers will be more obvious and it'll be harder to ignore us and there will be places for us. I'm sure there'll be LGBTI-specific facilities, just as there are Ukrainian ones and Italian ones that are culturally specific.
Mm. Yes.
It's just a matter of someone having the money to
do it
because it's quite an expensive process.
Well, I must say that you women have got yourselves together nicely, and there's been a couple of gay guys have been trying to do the things for a general gay village, but it hasn't ever worked out. I think starting from the small seed, from small acorns, oak trees grow.
From That's little right. things, big things grow. The yes. song oh, by exactly. song by Kev Carmody, yes.
Kev Carmody, thank you.
Yeah, the issue with, I think a lot of us would love to see, perhaps some of us want a mixed LGBTI aged care facility. Yeah. Other lesbians want a women's focused one. But the problem with that is that often people want to stay in their own area.
Yes.
And if you've got to decide where to build it, and I suppose you'd build it in the area where there was the greatest population density. So for lesbians, that might be Northcote.
Yes,
that's true. Yeah.
But there can't be one in every town or facility. That's why I'm quite very excited about the discussions we're having with the existing aged care provider. Because if they can provide us with a wing or an area in a number of different towns and cities, then that will go a long way to supporting a lot of lesbians with different choices.
I had a very dear lesbian friend of mine. She was in her 80s when she had to go into a nursing home. And she got on so well with everybody, and she got on well with everybody. She didn't mince matters. She told them she was a lesbian, and that was it. And she's the staff just loved her. They looked after her so well. It was just amazing. You know, it was just one of these private little nursing homes. Yeah.
Yeah, there are other stories like that. Yeah. Like a dear friend of ours, Betty, who died a couple of years ago in an aged care facility. She was only in there for a short time.
That's right.
But when she was first there, she's always been a very butch woman, very quite obvious, not someone who can pass.
She's the one I'm talking about.
Okay.
Yes, yeah, she was a great friend of mine.
Yeah, so she loved her bingo and her beer.
Oh, did she ever? Yeah, yeah.
And initially she didn't tell them, and then I think one of the nursing staff or social workers perhaps said to her, you know, do you mind if I ask you a personal question? And she said, no, go for it. Anything you like, you know, go for it, mate. And they said, are you a lesbian? And she said, of course, you know, but she was very chuffed and pleased to have been asked. Mm. And it was only after that she started introducing her partner as her partner.
Yeah.
And I think after she died, there was another lesbian couple who came out to the staff, and the staff had no idea at all. They'd been perfectly camouflaged and hidden as, you know, friends.
Yeah, but you couldn't mistake Bet.
But it was Betty's legacy that she enabled them to see that nothing bad happened to
Betty.
Right.
That's right, yeah.
So we're perennially waving the flag, but it's good. And I think the younger generation is showing an acceptance that we wish the older generation will pick up. And there's some statistics that came out over the weekend that support the rainbow colouring of the community. It's brilliant. So, well, congratulations indeed to Matrix. You've shown us the way, and it's wonderful for your community that you've got such a wonderful facility there.
Thank you. And can I just do a plug for the Comedy Gala?
Go on.
So we've got a wonderful lineup so far, about 12 comedians, not all lesbian, but mostly. And we're hoping to hear back soon from Hattie Gadsby and Denise Scott and Kel Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
We had it was the night, probably the biggest night on the lesbian calendar last year. And it's our big fundraiser for Matrix Guild to allow us to keep on doing these volunteer visitor programs and our housing and our aged care presentation. So come along and have an amazing night. There'll be wonderful food provided, Spanish, Mediterranean, Greek food.
How do they book for tickets?
We'll have a bar. They just need to go to the Midsummer website.
Mm-hmm.
And book online. If they haven't got internet access, they can call Midsummer.
Excellent.
So that's midsummer.org.au.
Of course.
That's right.
And the venue is a large one this year.
Yes, Preston Town Hall.
Wow. So
so come early, grab a seat, get some dinner and a drink.
You're obviously going to fill it, I would think.
Our tickets are already selling quite fast.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Well, thank you again, Annika. It's been brilliant.
Thank you very much.
Well done.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye.
Cheers.
Joy 94.9.
You're on Joy 94.9. Been there, done that with Gordon, Phil and Chris. One minute away from 12:30.
And it's our week, 21st birthday week, leading right up to our big 21st birthday next Monday, the 1st December.
You get the presents.
And you get the presents. My word, you do. For the 21st, we're giving away such great presents at each breakfast and drive show this Monday to Friday. From the Brekkie Bears to Driving You Mad, Driving You Crazy, we'll be giving away Major Joy 21st Birthday Present Prize to a lucky Joy member. You can get a $600 barbecue from barbecuesxl.com.au, or tickets to the Day on the Green with John Legend and Megan Washington and Adami Im. And dinner for two at the award-winning Yarra Trams, the Colonial Tram Cart Restaurant. So there's lots of great prizes that people could win, Phil.
That's a good idea.
It's a good idea, isn't it? So just listen
they
to those.
They don't come wrapped, though. They're not like birthday
listen to those
presents.
Programs. And we actually do have a giveaway today.
You got one?
We have got one. But I can find the form.
Oh, there's a piece of green paper there. That might be it.
No, that was the last one. Hang on. Where did I put it? Just talk amongst yourselves while I find it, will you?
I didn't bring a copy in either. Oh, all right. The listener's just going to have to wait.
We'll bring it up soon.
There you go. It's real vintage, fly by the seat of your pants radio. Let's see if we can find something else to do in the meantime. Stick around.
Joy Melbourne, 90.7 FM.
Oh, that's a wrong ID. this is not 90.7, this is 94.9. And that was a news theme. I wonder if it's conjured up anybody from the news department, because we really need, after the theme, to speak to someone and hear some news.
Somebody who sounds like a newsreader.
Oh, that sounds vaguely familiar to me. Is my microphone on?
Oh, testing, testing.
Testing, testing. I can hear you.
Now, that sounds like Mr. Tim Lennox.
Your earphones are not on, I think. Anyway, look, I'll carry on regardless, whatever.
You certainly will.
Yes.
Now, Tim, tell me, I believe that news at Joy is about the longest running show.
Yes, well, it was the first program on Joy, as we've said sometimes and from time to time, because when you first went to air, it was the first program, and it was a half-hour news program, a special one.
And who was involved in that? Because you couldn't have just put that together on your own.
Oh, no. I wasn't involved at all. I wasn't there then.
When did you become a part of the news team, Tim?
Only about 19 and a half years ago. But that was early days before, you know.
Yeah, because Current Affairs, I think, was actually, as you say, one of the first programs here on Joy. And Bill Jeffrey and Alan Smales and probably someone else were doing a program called Potpourri.
Potpourri, yes, which later on became Saturday Magazine.
That's right.
So that's also our longest running Current Affairs program.
I can remember listening to that when Joy first started all those years ago. And I used to listen to it on the radio.
Sorry, can't hear you.
It's all right. Sorry about that.
And what did it sound like?
It sounded like that.
Interested in what's going on in your community?
Pour yourself a cuppa, butter another piece of toast, and spend your Saturday mornings with us.
Jeff Hood and Mark Gardner.
Sorry, we're just
on
changing
Saturday
over
Magazine,
your phone.
10 to 12 Saturday mornings.
On Joy Melbourne.
There you go.
There we are. Yes, I caught the tail end of that.
That was the original Saturday Magazine theme. And brilliant, and that was part of the team that was putting together Saturday Magazine around about 10 years ago, Jeff Hood and Mark Gardner.
They always had – Saturday Magazine's always been one of my favourite programs on Joy. It's always so interesting the way the bits and pieces they come up with every week. It's just amazing.
Well, in the early days of Joy, before we got our licence, we were making sure that we connected with our community and that our gay community got the benefit of our broadcasting so that they could get their messages over as well. And it was really interesting that a lot of organisations, gay clubs, gay community groups, really got a boost because Joy was on air. And that was the whole purpose behind Joy getting a licence.
It certainly was, and that was virtually the sole reason we got it. But we had to look after the complete GLBTI community and that expanded as we went on.
That's right, and it's just got bigger and bigger and bigger, and 21 years later we're still here, big and bright and beautiful and bold and celebrating our birthday. How's that for alliteration with bees?
A lot of bees. But now the news sessions are shorter because the first one had to have all the news from the start of humanity up until that time.
It's about right, Phil. Yeah, but now but Joy are the only community station that do a news service. Is that right, Tim?
Well, no, there are some community stations do news services, but they're not especially prepared.
That's what I mean.
You know, we're the only station that actually compiles and presents our own bulletins.
Yeah, because they take feeds from other resources, don't they?
Yeah, some do, and there's others that just sort of read from newspapers and things like that.
Well, that's an easy way of doing it, I suppose.
The language is not always the same.
Yeah, yeah. But how many news readers do you have on your team?
We have it usually fluctuates slightly. It's around about 30.
30 news readers, yeah. They cover the whole week.
Yes, we've got 21 bulletins a week to cover, and there are invariably people not available sometimes and for a variety of reasons.
Yeah,
but and we have recently we've got new people coming in as we speak because other people are leaving, and we're having had a bit of a campaign to bring in new people.
That's right.
And they're still in the process. Some of those are still in the process of being trained.
Yeah, because with a lot of people, they have jobs that they have to do so that they can't. And jobs change, of course, so that they just have to drop off the team for a little while or something.
Exactly.
Like that, don't they?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And life is not, you know, the life is a bit larger than that at times for a lot of people.
Exactly.
Different things to do. We all have other interests as well.
But you keep going on constantly.
Oh, yes, but I have some outside things of interest.
Yes, I know,
you know.
But you'd never miss.
Now, what is your journalistic background, please, Tim?
Oh, well, that's a bit like... There's a fair bit of that to go through, but it's largely in print journalism and did a little bit of television in the early days.
Wow.
Briefly, on regional television, and that's where we had to wear suits and things like that.
Oh, right, okay.
We had to do it once on Joy recently for the 20th December the 1st last year when...
We had the worldwide AIDS Day broadcast.
Yes, our youngest newsreader, which was Matt Thompson, and the oldest, which is me, we alternated in there in the bulletins.
Now, also, I understand that some of your newsies have gone on to bigger and brighter things.
They certainly have. We've got people on in radio, and we have people on television.
We have, without mentioning names, a newsreader on as a key reader on SBS. Also on SBS television.
Yes.
We have some people who have been in country radio still reading, and that's brilliant. They've had their chance. And, of course, Matt himself, his voice is also heard on some Melbourne airwaves other
it
than
certainly
Joy.
Certainly has a couple of different stations.
Yeah, he spreads himself around as our Matt.
Why not?
We all have different interests as well as that side of things as well too. My hobby is whimsical stuff. I write lots of whimsical verse.
Oh,
and also from time to time, I fell in love with the thing which the Australian newspaper started many years ago called mini sagas. Have you heard of mini sagas?
No.
A mini saga is a short story with no more than 50 words, no more, no less, and it has a headline demonstrating the work of that thing in no more than 9 words. You see, you're allowed a maximum of 9 words.
That would take a fair bit of doing.
Well, it's interesting, and I enjoy doing them.
You'd have to have a good command of the English language.
Well, have we got time to let me give you one?
Yep, go on.
Have we got time?
Quick. It's not about a man from Nantucket, is it?
No, it's called Home is a 72 Holden.
Ooh.
It goes like this. Melissa settled the kids in the back seat. Saturday night, as the balls tumbled on the tiny battery TV screen, she concentrated hard, willing them each into place. It worked. She squealed. 6 numbers. When he arrived home, Fred shriveled. The ticket price had been 2 beers he really needed.
Well written.
Not a happy ending.
Well written.
That's a story in a nutshell,
yes, isn't it? Yeah, that's clever. clever writing, that. Yeah.
Excellent.
Each of the mini sagas had to have a sort of a start, the middle, and end.
Yeah.
You know.
It's a story of life, generally, isn't it?
That's right.
Yes, so. And Joy started on the 1st of December, 1993, and here we are going strong, although there's a lot of chance that we mightn't have been on air, because part of the process was that Joy had to get a permanent broadcast license, and that process was long and tortuous, and there was no guarantee that we were going to get it. So we are fortunate that we're here.
But we had some very good people working on that, and they really knew what they were doing.
Legal Eagles, who put together an application, and Sydney had actually done the process about 6 months earlier than us, and so we got all the blank forms. We knew the questions, and we really analysed the question and made sure that our answer was spot on.
I remember a certain photograph I took once with all the number of the people involved, and there's just piles and piles of 2-ring binders on the desk in front of them, and that was all part of the application.
It certainly was.
And it worked.
And it works, so thanks very much. Thank you, Tim.
You're welcome.
And one of the other people that was on air here on Joy in the early days who helped create the flavour of Joy was this person.
Live from the luxury Joy Melbourne studios every Saturday afternoon at 5, join me, Andrew Melbourne, for The Andrew Melbourne Show. You'll hear the stars, the stories and the events that are happening in Melbourne each week. And remember, you never know who you'll hear on The Andrew Melbourne Show, exclusive to Joy Melbourne, every Saturday at 5.
Melbourne's lovable radio station, Joy 94.9.
Now, we are about to give away one of those prizes I just mentioned. This is a CD album of Jessica Mowboy. Now, this is something I'd really love to win. I love Jess Mowboy.
Yes.
She's a wonderful singer. A very good actor, too.
Where would I have seen her?
She was in...
Australian Idol.
Yeah,
originally.
But she was also in that the one about the three singers that went to Vietnam, the Aboriginal singers that went to
right,
Singapore.
She
was one of the actors in that. I can't remember the name, isn't it? It's terrible. It's just gone out of my head at the moment. But, she's lovely. Really lovely actor and great person too. She comes into Joy. She's been into Joy several times.
Yeah. Oh, excellent. Oh, my golly gosh, where has the time gone?
21st birthdays are always one of those things when you're sort of getting things going, when you're trying to celebrate your birthday and everything seems to be going, yeah. What was your 21st like, Phil?
Oh, I wish I could remember.
Oh, God, it wasn't that.
No, it wasn't a huge event.
It wasn't a huge event, wasn't it? Oh, dear. Mine wasn't a huge event.
It was just me in my closet.
Well, I was going to say that we tend to come from the times when there wasn't a lot of spare cash floating around and anything was never done on a grand scale. It was rather subtle and personal and intimate. And being personal and intimate is not a bad way to go.
No, we had... my 21st birthday was in the brand new house that my father and I built.
All right.
Yeah, we were builders. Lots of fun for everyone. Yeah.
Now, on this day, have we got some celebratory items to talk about? Well, the first piece of music that we had today was Freddie Mercury.
And Queen.
And what was the name of the song?
My Best Friend. That's the one, yes. And, of course, it's the anniversary of Freddie Mercury passing away. He was born, I can't remember when he was born. I haven't got the paper with me. But he was, he had the HIV, of course, which is a shame. Yeah. It was a shock. But
he was born on the 5th of September 1946.
That's right. And he died in November.
24th of November 1999.
That's right,
so
yeah.
There you go, 15 years ago.
He wasn't a very old man either, you know. It's just it was one of the devastations
of that
disease.
Shy little flower that
he was a shy little flower, Philip. Yes, he really was.
Never really got out much.
No.
We've got a little bit of Joy music for you because being a retro show, we've got to have something like this, surely.
What is it?
That was New Colours with Joy. And that particular track was used as a bed, a music bed, under some of our idents back about 10, 15 years ago.
Many, many years ago.
Indeed.
Yes, I can remember hearing that. Yes.
So very distinctive and, you know, could almost be made for us. There you are.
The lesson to be learned is if you want to get a lot of airplay, name your song Joy.
Yes.
Well, that's true too. Yes.
12:49. 11 minutes to one,
minutes
I should
one.
Say.
Yes,
we don't do digital, do we?
Flying around. Yes, we have too. And we've got a winner from the Jess Mowboy CD. It was Ian from Balnarring won that. Yes, good on you, Ian. And we also had a message when we were trying to remember what Jess Mowboy was in. It was the Sapphires. Thank you, Nick, for sending that in. I was having a seniors moment there.
We have a very well-educated audience.
We have a brilliant audience that will let us know whenever we need something to be known.
Whenever we screw up.
Do we never screw up, Philip?
Oh, at least
always,
once a week.
We're always perfect. You know what we're like. Yeah. Anyhow, now...
you're going to say it's been a long time since we screwed up.
It's been a long time since we screwed up, yes. But today is the anniversary of Bennelong, the Aboriginal man, being captured on the 25th of November. And he was the one that was used as the go-between between the white settlers and the Aboriginal community. And when they first settled in Australia,
that was Captain Phillip.
Captain Phillip Cook caught him, and he was able to... I don't know how he worked out what the English was when they were speaking to him in English, and he was sort of trying to work out what they were saying.
But hand gestures.
Hand gestures and drawing pictures, I would have thought, in the sand and something or other. And he was he actually went to England with Captain Phillip when he went back to England. He stayed in England for a while. He was quite famous over there.
It's interesting wording, though, to say he was captured. It's not as if he volunteered for the job.
No, he didn't. No, yeah, they grabbed him.
Being the intermediary and... being so helpful sounds like a really lovely situation, but I have a feeling it wasn't quite that cordial.
Yeah, but the one thing about it is that they did name Bennelong Point after him, where the Sydney Opera House stands.
I don't think he ever got to see that.
I don't think he did, no. No. I remember when they opened the Opera House, they had an Aboriginal playing the part of Bennelong right up on the top of the... Of the Opera House.
Yeah, yeah, wow.
Been a long way down.
What? Stop. Oh, thank you, Phil.
Wait till I get started on Geelong Road.
But it is interesting that, in fact, Bennelong and Captain Arthur Phillip were on cordial relationships.
They got on very well together, yes. And it was through Bennelong that they were able to sort of work out where things were and how things worked in the country for a while.
Yeah.
But then, of course, like everything else, the first settlers thought that they knew everything and nearly didn't survive because the food they'd bought from England didn't grow.
Yeah, but of course, there was that culture as well from the invaders, as they are called, the white man, this was an empty country and they were interlopers as much as anybody else. The local population were interlopers and therefore they were needed to be grubbed out like anything else.
Yeah, because it wasn't much longer after that that the Myall Creek Massacre happened.
Oh, that's right.
That was pretty dreadful. That was on the 26th of November in 1838.
Yeah, there was a trial.
There was a trial, and after the massacre, they massacred the women and children because
about 40
they said,
or 50 of them.
Yeah, because they felt that the somebody had killed one of the white people in the area, and so they just massacred all the children. Yeah. They didn't get any of the men. They just massacred the women and children, which is, to me, was ridiculous. But then they were all let off. Mm. The people that did the massacre were all let off, and then it was such a hullabaloo and scream that they decided they better retry them, and they did retry them, and they were all hung.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And about
fair
bloody
enough.
Time.
And they'll never do that again.
No.
Well, no. You're on Joy. Here's another Joy music track that was very prominent in Joy's history.
Bring joy to the world. Listen to us everywhere. Download the Joy smartphone app now at joy.org.au.
Almost time for us to get out of here and make room for Gordon to come in and play another 1 hour of music.
Music and have some 21st birthday chats as well. Yes, we've got a couple of people lined up to come in and have a little chat about what they do around the place.
And you've got a...
I was going to say you've got a prize to give away.
And a prize to give away. Another great prize to give away.
Oh.
It's going to be a wonderful prize. Yes, I wouldn't mind winning that one myself too. They're giving such good prizes away for 21st. You know, when you turn 21, you usually get presents. We're giving them away.
Yeah, we made a bit of a boo-boo.
We made a bit of a boo-boo there. Right? Yeah, they could have given them to us, couldn't they, Phil?
Well, I would have accepted a lot of these vouchers.
What would you do with a $600 barbecue in your apartment?
I have a balcony.
You have a balcony, have you?
I can buy a $600 chop.
Oh,
and barbecue
good.
It.
Okay, right. That'll be fun. And that's one of the prizes that they're giving away. And they're giving away prizes every day in the morning and in the evening from Monday to Friday, from the Brekkie Bears drive show this morning to Driving You Mad, Driving You Crazy next Friday afternoon. And they're giving the presents away, all sorts of different things they're giving away. So just tune in and enter into the draw and see if you can win one of these things. Because I reckon it'll be wonderful.
Sounds a good idea to me.
So there you go. We're having the birthday. We're giving the presents.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a terrific idea.
Oh, it's been a very packed show today. Annika Deutsch from Matrix Guild and Tim Lennox from Joy News Department.
The voice of Joy News.
The voice
indeed,
of Joy News.
Indeed.
Definitely with a deep voice. Yes, right down there. Yeah.
It's time for us to go then. Well, thanks very much. And we'll go out with another Joy track.
And next Monday, we've got a special Joy birthday show.
Oh, yes.
A real special
twice
one.
Twice the joy.
Twice the joy it'll be.
Yes. Not yes, we'll be broadcasting from a special outside broadcast.
Yes.
So stay tuned next Monday.
Next Monday.
But stay tuned to Joy today.
Or stay tuned all week, 24/7.
That's us.
And
it's
1 o'clock.
Joy.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.